Tyler Vaughn with another episode of Between the Post, a podcast where we focus on talking goalkeepers specifically and really just soccer in general. You know, one of the main things here we focus on, for those of you that have listened before, or if this is your first time, is we're always looking to deliver information, education, and inspiration to help you guys be the best coach, player, parent, and even fan you can be. So let's go ahead and kick it off. I wanted to dive into something that I think is pretty relevant. You know, I personally, as a director of goalkeeping, former goalkeeper, been around for quite some time, don't know everything by any stretch, but, you know, I find myself at this point in my playing, coaching career, playing being a laughable moment, but I find myself reflecting a lot, you know, about strategies, whether it be strategies in training sessions on the field, or just in how we interact with players and encourage them to grow. You know, I find myself always trying to look back, reflect, and a lot of the times on this podcast, that's what we're going to try to offer you guys, whether we have a guest on or not. You know, we're hoping to convey and communicate things that all of us have done out there, whether it were positive things or potentially not necessarily negative, but learning moments. We always want to introduce those so that we can hopefully continue to push the next generation of goalkeepers. Whether you are an active goalkeeper right now, at any level, any age, we're trying to introduce concepts, topics, and a bit of information to save you guys from the same troubles that we all have faced as goalkeepers. You know, we understand that learning is all about the growth process, and sometimes you've got to fail to move forward and learn from it. But anytime we can help you guys, that's what we're here for. So today's topic, training young goalkeepers. You know, I talk to goalkeeper coaches all the time throughout the U.S. Specifically, and one of the things we all struggle with, and I'll use myself today as a bit of an example because it's something I very much struggle with. We struggle with young goalkeepers and exactly how best to train them, how to educate them, how to instruct them to become a better goalkeeper, right? Now, let's first define, as we broach this topic, let's define the age player we're talking about. So I'm talking U9 and below, right? So we're talking some young kids, definitely at the developmental level. And I think that's where we're going to focus on this particular young training aspect here for those kids at that particular age. You know, I've got to introduce this topic and give you guys a little bit of background on what I've found and what I've been experiencing over the past probably 6 months. You know, as a director of goalkeeping and then prior to that role, just training goalkeepers at a variety of different levels at clubs throughout my career. You know, I always tended to focus somehow, and I guess maybe prefer, I'm not really sure, but prefer to work with goalkeepers that were a little bit older. That wasn't necessarily intentional, but it just kind of happened to be the case. And whether it was coaching older players at the club level from a team standpoint, I always kind of found myself coaching those higher levels from probably the middle school onward, right? But players that kind of have the background, they should have some of the technique, well, you hope. But they introduce a different challenge. So when we're talking here, these goalkeepers at U9 level, frankly, up until about the last 6 months, that was an area of great weakness and kind of blindness for me. I had no experience there. Frankly, I didn't know what to do when it came to training a young goalkeeper, right? And it's such an odd thing. And, you know, any of us who have been goalkeepers in the past, whether we're coaches, players, or whatever it might be, you know, you look back and you think, well, I was a great goalkeeper back when. Surely I know the technique and I can remember what it takes to get to the point, you know, where you might be today for a young goalkeeper. But in reality, I struggle with that philosophy. You know, I look back and I said, oh yeah, this is exactly how you catch a ball. Well, then going to break that down into a training session that a U9 can tackle in bite-sized chunks, I guess. You know, that's where I struggled and really found a weakness of mine. You know, I came from, like I said, coaching so many older level kids where, frankly, you go out every single time and you offer this high-level training session, fit for the player, fit for the group. But you're going out and you're really trying to work as much on the fitness aspects as well as the technique, right? You know, we've kind of got these particular players that I was most used to training past the phase of technique. You know, you always strengthen, you always look for weaknesses and correct those type of those weaknesses in their game, but you know you're kind of past the developmental phase, right? We're talking players that potentially are seeking to get scholarship and go to the next level, either collegiate or onward. You know, and for me, that was where my sweet spot was. That was where I felt most comfortable. So it was a bit of a vulnerable moment when I took a step back, helping out another club and fitting into kind of a different role at this particular club in the North Carolina area. And going into a situation where we had more players at the U11, 12 age group and below, that to me was a bit of a scary task, right? And, you know, I kind of held off for probably some months before I committed to filling this role. And, you know, I held off because it just wasn't a comfort level, right? And it put me outside of my comfort zone. And I was thinking, how in the world can I go from training high-level players? And it's not that they don't have things to work on, but it's such a different training session, right? And how in the world can I learn enough? How, you know, I'm thinking, how do I do a session with a U9? And I think for me, this was a great opportunity to really continue to evolve as a coach. You know, I found out, you know, so many different times over my coaching career, you find your weaknesses, right? You know, not necessarily weaknesses as players, but weaknesses as a coach and how you communicate with players. You know, how you look at the game different from the sideline that you might have from inside the goal or elsewhere on the field. So this was another opportunity for me. You know, I'd come off of a long year of taking some time away, not necessarily from the game itself, but just away from the sideline and away from the training. And that was a needed time away. But, you know, diving back in, I didn't necessarily think I'd be diving back into a situation where not only I was coming off of a long break from coaching, and now I'm diving back in and I'm just completely throwing myself into a loop of what in the world are you doing and how do you do it? You know, so it was a great opportunity, a great challenge. And that's kind of what led me to today's topic of, you know, how do you go about training those young goalkeepers? What do you focus on? How do you work with them? What should those key takeaways be at that particular level in terms of players? So I'm hopeful that this is going to help you guys out there that are in the same situation as I am. You know, it's been such a great, I look back on almost a year now, it's been such a great decision that I made to go into it. You know, these young kids are so impressionable, and for a lot of us coaches, that's what we're here for, is to try to encourage players to take their game to the next level. And everyone's starting point and ending point at the beginning and end of a season should hopefully obviously be different. And it's our job as coaches to determine how far we can get these players and take them from point A to point B. So I look back, and I mean, this was one of the first things that came to mind when I'm thinking topics that I can blend with, you know, what hopefully other coaches out there and parents can kind of look at and listen to and say, hey, it's not just me. I'm not the only one going through this reflective period or these challenges. Not that Tyler is necessarily the pinnacle of goalkeeping excellence, but again, I hope I'm a voice of reason and kind of reinforcing, look, everyone goes through it. Let's introduce some strategies so that you can hopefully move through that phase and continue to help encourage players. So, you know, at the U9 level, what do we teach them, right? That was the biggest challenge for me. What are we teaching these U9 and below players, these kids that, you know, frankly, they're not goalkeepers yet. And they don't even know they're goalkeepers yet. And frankly, though you may think or a parent may think or a coach might think, oh, this is for sure my goalkeeper, it's not really fair to box in a young player at that age into the position. So we're not really thinking these are players who 100% will be goalkeepers. I don't know that it's necessarily a fair assumption to make at that particular level. And I think it's generally accepted in the soccer and goalkeeping community that we're not defining players really at any position in the U9 and U10 and below age group, right? And we're not forcing them to play goalkeeper full time. Think about it as an opportunity to give them a taste of what the position really has to offer. You know, maybe you identify a handful of players out there on the team, or maybe you're the coach that cycles everybody through, right? You know, you're going to quickly find out those who have a natural ability and knack for the position, and obviously those who would rather hide in the bottom corner of the goal when anyone gets around them, right? You know, so I think that we have to kind of evolve our thinking there, right? We're not really looking, you know, so many kids, even at these young age, they have access to social media, they see on TV, you know, they've got these heroes and these players that they idolize and look up to, and that's great, right? we're seeing players come out at the youngest of ages thinking, well, fantastic, I'm going to look like the best goalkeeper out there. I want to be in the net. And that's not a bad thing, right? That's a great opportunity. But let's not forget that a great goalkeeper today, a modern goalkeeper of our time today, has to be almost equally as successful with a ball at their feet as they do in their hands, right? And you have to be a very well-rounded player. So when we're talking these younger age groups, we don't want to sacrifice the development of the total player just because, you know, a player, parent, coach, or whoever it might be is thinking, well, yep, here's this 9-year-old. They're my next goalkeeper. They're my next big thing at the club. So we really have to suck up our egos a little bit, and that's kind of where I find the conversation starting, right, with a lot of coaches, is we've just got to reflect and say, listen, it's not fair to any particular player at this age to stick them in the net full-time and say, hey, listen, you know, you caught a couple balls last week at our training session. Surely you're my next goalkeeper, right? So we kind of have to take a step back, and I think that as youth sports, youth soccer specifically, youth goalkeeping is developing, and I think we're actually reflecting on that, and the things that I'm seeing are really a positive change from what we may have been doing in the past. So, you know, what do you teach these players, right? Whether you're a coach that's not as familiar with goalkeeping, the position, whether you're a coach that knows soccer in and out, but you have no clue about the position of goalkeeper, you know, there's so many different scenarios of coaches that I see in terms of their comfort level with keeping. Some have a level of go stand in the net, let me smash some soccer balls at you. Others have an understanding of, hey, yep, this is a great drill to incorporate goalkeeping, you know, at the higher age groups, to where both the keeper and the field players get benefit from the session. But when it comes down to the U9-10 level, we have a lot of volunteers, and that's fantastic, right? Now, that does not necessarily mean, when we say the term volunteer, that defines your knowledge of the game. But we have volunteers who maybe they just don't have time in the day to plan a session. Maybe they don't. They stepped up to fill a void because their son or daughter's on the team. And all of these are positive things. These are not negatives. So what we have to do is try to support these coaches at these levels. Whether it's a volunteer or not, it's really irrelevant. Because hopefully we've got someone in that position, and I'm sure you are, that's just there to try to help the kids learn and have fun while they're playing. So, you know, what do you teach at the U9 and lower levels? You could be someone like me who's been around goalkeeping for almost 2 decades and is still trying to figure out how in the world do I instruct a U9. So let's be really clear. The spectrum that we're referring to on this particular episode of coaches, you know, it's everybody. So at the U9 and below level, we're talking basic rules of goalkeeping, right? I mean, literally, basic rules of goalkeeping. Here's your box. Use your hands inside. Don't use your hands outside, right? So those simple basic rules, and I'm not going to go into all the basic rules, clearly. That'll eat up time, but, you know, the simple things. Well, what happens when the ball goes out of bounds? What does the goalkeeper do? You know, one of the first things that I should have looked in the mirror and just pointed and laughed at myself. You know, when I started this out, I found myself in a research mode, right? Figure it out, educate myself, looking at other resources, other coaching sessions, trying to learn what in the world do I do with these U9, U10 players, these young kids, you know, and of course, egos get into, you know, goalkeepers are known a bit for their egos, and I'm thinking, all right, great, I've got this totally under control, I can do this, man, I'm the best thing that ever happened to these kids, you know, and we all know that we have those moments, but I thought about it, you know, and I'm thinking, well, all right, so I didn't approach it in the manner we're going to talk through today, but basic rules of goalkeeping, I had no clue, nor did it ever come to my attention that, well, what should a goalkeeper be doing when they make a save, right? We talk distribution at the higher levels, we talk support, we talk balance, communication, but those things are over the head of an 8-year-old. You know, I didn't even think to go over the fact that, all right, when you get the ball in your hands, when it goes out for a goal kick, what should they be doing? You know, here we are thinking on such a high level, you know, I'm like, all right, you know, let's go ahead and let's work on diving, you know, simplify, but diving to the left, to the right, real super simple stuff. When in reality, that's not what the kids were even struggling with. You know, so I had a moment, I was out watching a couple games, you know, looking at the goalkeepers and evaluating them. And I realized, hey, in terms of in the net, they're doing a fantastic job. Weaknesses being simpler things like the ball goes out of bounds, not knowing what to do, taking a goal kick, essentially giving it up to the other team that's standing on the top of their area, and then they go and they score a goal just because he or she didn't know what to do. So I really had to reflect on that, and it really did kind of revolutionize and really evolve my training into doing more of a comprehensive approach. So basic rules of goalkeeping is number one. You know, the second thing is proper catching technique. You know, really hammer down with these kids when we're talking at the developmental level. Ball on the ground. Get your hands down there early. Identify what type of save, what type of technique, even at the youngest levels and at the simplest level, what type of technique is needed here. Really encourage these kids to getting their hands in position well before the ball comes to them. So many times as goalkeepers, we are forced into situations where we're just reactionary, right? So we're reacting to everything that goes on around us. And that's not a bad thing. I mean, that's just part of the game. But I find that U9, U10 players and younger, you know, they're just not quite there. Right? I mean, they're learning, they're growing physically, and all of that stuff that we have as older players, you know, the younger developmental players, they're just not going to quite have it yet. They're not going to notice, their brain's not going to be trained well enough to know, all right, shot to my right, what do I do? So I found that I needed to really work on proper catching technique. Now that's the technical aspects. What's my hand positioning? What happens when a ball is, you know, at my feet, right? What happens when a ball is around my belly button? What happens when a ball's up in the air? That proper catching technique really, really changed how I went about even, you know, the beginning stages of a training session all the way through to the end and embedded within. You know, I, yet again, this episode is all about me poking fun at myself, so I hope everyone's enjoying that. But, I mean, we've got to be honest here, right? When I was out on the fields, again, looking at players, doing some evaluations, you know, I saw, again, I'm thinking, oh, yeah, these guys, everybody's ready to go. These kids have learned, and they truly had. They clearly improved, and I was seeing it, right? But I needed to figure out, okay, if I'm seeing it in my training sessions, that doesn't necessarily mean it translates to a game, to live play. So I go out, I'm watching a couple games, and we had just had a week where, and hold your laughter to the end, please. We had a week, and one of my training sessions, I worked on high balls. So I wasn't really working on them with 8 or 9 year olds, but let's just say, I think they were probably around the U12, 11, 12. But just for sake of the argument, they were probably a little too young to be focusing on a session of high balls. Now, I'm not talking we did flighted balls and crosses from 30 yards out on a string, but we're talking balls tossed in, the technique. So I don't know that that was as bad, but here I am out there, you know, evaluating on the weekends thinking, oh man, I can't wait to see one of my gals out there, one of these young players go out and really collect a corner kick or go out and collect a ball that's flighted through the air. I kid you not. Not one, I was watching one game, not one ball in the air that the goalkeeper had to deal with. And I'm sitting here just stumped, and I'm thinking, well, what am I doing? You know, reflecting back, it's completely idiotic to think that a U9 player needs to focus a lot of their time on a flighted ball. When in the world is the ball even really in the air to the goalkeeper on purpose, right? I'm not saying it doesn't go in the air. Boot ball is a beautiful thing in the U.S., right? I'm being sarcastic, of course, but, you know, the long ball isn't really a factor. Players aren't strong enough yet. And here I am looking again, you know, doing this whole reflection time of, way to go, Tyler, you idiot. You spent an entire hour of time on a topic that, though it's critical probably in a year or two from now, and it is important and helpful, it's not what these keepers need to be working on. So, you know, that was an opportunity for me to kind of look in the mirror and say, come on, you've got to put your mind, and we've got to be better at really understanding, look, if I can pick 3-4 things, and that's why we've got 4 here, if I'm picking 4 things over a season to really hone in and focus on, to drill down on with these young players, what are they? You know, and my 4 things, well, probably more my 10 things, they were unrealistic, a lot of them. You know, I'm sure they help the keepers, because naturally, you're out there, they're training, they're young, they're getting their hands on a ball, they're hearing me talk about stuff, and we're going through, you know, certain topics, and we are discussing a lot of the fundamentals and breaking it down. So they were improving, but I question how much more could they have improved, right? If we were a little more focused. So again, we're talking proper catching technique being number 2 of what to teach these young girls and boys out there in terms of in the net. Diving, not so much at U9 and below. That's number three. I see, you know, thank goodness I didn't make this mistake. But, you know, diving wasn't ever really a focus. We discussed it. I showed the visuals myself. Because, again, do not forget throughout all of this, do not forget that the players at a young age are so incredibly visual. I mean, so incredibly visual. So if you're the goalkeeper coach or the coach in general that maybe you don't have the technique, use other players out there as examples. Use other players out there that are doing it the right way. If you can't show them yourself, use that as an example. Show them. Have a visual. So we didn't really work a whole lot on diving at that level and below. But what we did work on, being number four, bridges into number four. We did work on just movement and positioning in the goal. Now, I'm not talking cutting down angles, coming out to the 1v1 and destroying the attacker. We're talking what happens when the ball goes from left to right. Right? Just simple stuff. You know, at the U10 and above level, we touch on it and we get into a little bit more detail. So, you know, the fourth thing is right around the U9, U10. So when the players are kind of hitting that point where they've done it or seen it a little bit longer, maybe hopefully you're in a case where you've got players consistent year to year. But at the U10 and above level, we just start to touch on positioning. Okay. The reason for this is to stress the importance of protecting the near post, right? Cut down the angle. You can touch on the topic. I wouldn't dive down into the mathematics of it necessarily, being sarcastic. But we're talking, think about the ball that transitions from left to right. Think about how many times you see young players and even, frankly, older players as well that they don't move across the goal. They're not aware. They're not sure of how to get from right post to left post to close the angle. So we talk about the idea, the terminology, but we don't drill down into it on a high, high level. Basically, the visual is simple. Ball's passed from left to right. What do you do, right? How do you move across the goal? So, you know, cutting down the angle, I bring that up and we do talk about that term because I find it's extremely critical, even at the young age groups. So this technically could be added into my list, but this is something I think naturally you're already doing, so I didn't include it. You know, it's start to use the same words over and over, right? The same words in goalkeeping, the goalkeeping terminology that we know. You know, now or 5 years from now or 8-10 years from now, if the player is still playing, they hear one word, they know what it means. So we have to start them young, even at the younger age groups, to just understand and hear terms, to learn, right? It's all about education. So we can help them physically become better goalkeepers, but mentally, intelligence level, we can also improve that aspect as well by starting them young with certain words. You're talking, you know, phrases as well, but cut down the angles. Calling keeper when you go out for a save. Just reinforce that terminology. You don't have to give them Webster's Dictionary's definition of it in terms of goalkeeping, but let's start to encourage them to think about these things, to hear these things, to become that intelligent player. I think that we're starting to see that impact where you've got really phenomenal coaches at the lower levels that are developing players, both with their physical skills, their technical aspects, but also some of that tactical knowledge. And I think some of the tactical knowledge we as coaches can start to instill in our players and our goalkeepers is what they're comfortable hearing, right? What they're comfortable in terms of when you're going through a session, the IQ of the player has been increased. So, you know, cutting down the angle, it's more of a concept, a philosophy, a visual. Don't drill down into it. I think that's a little bit high level just in terms of the attention span that's required. But I think you emphasize moving across the goal mouth as the ball travels left to right, right to left. You can even do that without incorporating any saves to begin with, and I suggest that. And then the other thing that with the U10 players, other than stressing the importance of the near post, would also be getting them off their line to collect a free ball that's rolled in their area. You know, I was the same kind of reflective period where I was out viewing games and evaluating players. I saw a lot of my players that I felt, man, yeah, they're the one. They got some skill, right? They struggled to know when to get off their line. It wasn't, I don't know that it was as much a fear of contact, but I think it was more not knowing, is it okay? You know, and that goes back to kind of my reflection of what do these kids do when they have the ball in their hands, and I didn't even think about that. And this is the same philosophy, right? Why not encourage them to use the skills that you're teaching them and that they're learning? Get off the line, try to collect the ball. Again, not necessarily looking to 1v1, go out and smash someone, attacking them. I don't necessarily know that, I mean, you can encourage it, but I don't know that's where the comfort level of this particular aged player at the U10, U10-ish level is going to be. But we're talking a free ball that rolls in. Go encourage them, all right? Think about how that helps them develop as a player, right? Then they've got the ball in their hands. All right, then we can work on, then what do you do next, right? Where do you go with the ball? What do you do? All right, where are you distributing the ball? So I think that ultimately that's going to help the development of the entire player as they continue to grow. You know, so then I think that we have to spend a little bit of time on working what they should do after they get their ball in the hands, right? I've touched on that, and that was something I didn't even struggle with it. Let's get real here. I completely blew over the topic completely and was looking at, all right, here's a PK. No, not seriously, but I mean, it's something that's so critical at these young age groups. What, you know, what do you do? So I was able, when I finally realized I'd missed the cue here on this, that, you know, you've got to teach them these, again, I use the phrase bite-sized chunks, right? Bite-sized, just small, not giving them too much to handle. They're young players. Even my attention span at times is a little bit short. You know, we have to respect that these kids, one minute these kids are paying attention to you, the next minute they're off picking flowers and looking at the sky at the plane flying by, right? Or they're looking at mom and they're waving in the middle of your session. And we've all been there. And don't get me wrong, it is absolutely hilarious to me that that goes on. But probably it's a reflection of you as the coach, we're talking too much, right? And we always have to, you know, bridge the gap between talking and shutting up, right? And I don't struggle with that, but I'm a little more comfortable, and it was something that I did struggle with when I was actually a teacher some years back, and I guess I learned the hard way in the classroom, because middle school kids are going to look at you with the kindest of expressions on their face when they want you to shut up. So, you know, you have to learn, right? You know, what's too much? And bite-sized chunks, I think, is what we have to try to shoot for as coaches at all levels and players of all levels and ages. But I came up with this kind of simple little mantra that I talked to these kids. I said, you know, all right, ball's in your hands. Don't panic, right? Take a deep breath and let the traffic in front of you clear. So traffic obviously being the players in front of you that maybe just came in on the attack, or even defensive players that are lost in the shuffle trying to figure out which way's up. You know, let's wait. Let everybody get out of the way, and then we can distribute the ball, right? I think that U8 and below, talking distribution, U9 is, I think, maybe, you know, again, let's all reflect here. Anytime we do an episode and we do specific topics, goalkeeping, it's your choice, your ability as a coach is got to be, how do I frame this, and how do I deliver and package and deliver this to the players I'm working with? Because not all players at the U9 level are equal. We all know that. So I'm giving you kind of a basis from my experience and what's kind of commonly done and accepted out there. That doesn't mean that you can't go above and beyond or slow it down a little bit for your players. That's acceptable and very much encouraged. But, you know, here's the thing. You know, all right, keeper, you've got the ball. You're a 9-year-old. Ball's in your hands. Don't panic. Relax. Take a deep breath. You've done a great job. You've made the save. Then distribute. Right, I say U8 and below, and I've talked to a lot of coaches about this. We've kind of debated, and I think that, you know, there's a lot of reasons for it, whether you agree or disagree. But U8 and below, I think you probably just want them to get the ball up the field. The reason for this that a lot of us agree is the right approach is because it restarts play. Right, think about play being such a factor at these age groups. Right, and just continuation of play, ball goes out of bounds, throw in. Well, improper throw it in again. Improper throw it in again. You know, so the continuation of play is what we want to encourage, because if they're not playing, they're not touching a ball, they're not learning. So we want to try to get the ball back into play for the overall good of everyone out there. So we're talking distribution. Can you have them punt it? Probably. Can you have them throw it? Probably. You know, I think that's a training session, and you do talk through and visualize and show them that. But I think that we definitely agree that at the U8 and younger age groups, you know, restarting play just by a long kick is absolutely acceptable. You know, at U9 and up, if you have the level of player, and it's probably actually not the goalkeeper, to be clear, as much as it is the players around them. But at that U9, U10, and up level, you can start to add other options in there dependent upon the players around them. Now, you know, let's, again, be very clear. What we all see on TV at the U9 and 10 level might not be the right approach. It might be the right long-term approach, right? It might be the right decision, but we have to make sure that we're putting these kids at these young age groups not only to learn but to succeed. Because if we're putting them in situations where, all right, you're encouraging your U9 goalkeeper for her to go ahead and distribute out with her hands to her right back or to whoever it might be, and then the right back is losing it every time, and now it's a 1v1, and the goalkeeper's getting scored on 10 out of 10 times, that's a situation that's going to absolutely impact negatively that particular goalkeeper. And I've seen it before, that emotional side of the game could drive what could potentially be really great players away from the game itself. So we have to be careful. Just put them in positive situations where, yes, we want them to struggle a little bit, but struggle to the extent that they're learning and growing, not to the extent that they're constantly failing. You know, I don't think failure is a bad thing, but we have to remember what we're talking about here. Yeah, yes, players, when they're challenged, they can learn. When they fail, yes, they hopefully can learn. But we're talking 9-year-olds, 8-year-olds. So let's just all kind of remember that and keep that in perspective. You know, I think it does a lot of the times, to put a bow on this idea, it does depend on, so distribution for a goalkeeper at a young level 100% is going to depend not only on their skill and aptitude as a keeper, but on the players around them. So just don't forget that. I think that's something that we want to emphasize. You know, for young players on a team, you know, that doesn't really mean that we want to have an assigned goalkeeper. There's a lot of debate around sharing time and this philosophy, and, you know, we have to be careful. To fling someone in for 10 minutes is okay. But again, just, I would say have an agreed upon, whether it's just internally yourself as a coach, have an agreed upon method or a group of players that you have identified are interested in playing, not that you think are the best, but are interested in playing, right? Hopefully those interested players have a knack for it and a skill for it. I think those kind of do go hand in hand, that natural ability, because if they're good at it, they're probably going to want to do it more. So I would just encourage you coaches out there to allow players to get in the net, to in games, in practices, in training, and to get a feel for it. I want to look at three key takeaways with that philosophy from a coaching standpoint, though, and probably from a parenting standpoint as well. Three things we have to remember with young players when we do put them in the net and they're not maybe the long-term keeper, but we don't know that, is we have to remember we cannot blame those young players when they give up a goal. And I know a lot of you listening to this are thinking, Teller, you're crazy. I would never do that. Well, then I'm probably not talking to you, right? You see so many times, and I know every one of you has seen it and heard it and been absolutely taken back by, you have a coach that, or a parent, maybe, that is just absolutely destroying a kid for getting scored on. And whether it was their fault or not, I don't think it's the right decision. So we have to kind of remember, listen, it doesn't always mean that you're vocal about how you blame a goalkeeper, but your expressions as well. So we just have to remember that, you know, these kids are more in tune to their surroundings at times, especially when they know they've made a mistake. And a lot of times as goalkeepers, they don't know that the mistake is their fault or not, right? Because we understand that at the position of goalkeeper, at its simplest level, we have one role, to keep the ball out of the net, right? And we've been taught that from as young as you start playing. Your one goal is to prevent the ball from going in the net. So, you know, it's hard for young players to really understand, hey, this was my fault or it was not my fault. But the bottom line is my coach is over there with his hand in his head or his head in his hands, you know, and I as a young player, well, that must be my fault. So let's try to remember, you know, don't blame the young players, encourage them. And as a coach, stay calm, right? I see coaches all the time, and it's absolutely hilariously amazing to see a bunch of coaches out there going absolutely insane on the touchline of a U10 game. Keeper gets the ball in his hands, he or she, they're over there screaming their head off, punt it, long, long, long. I mean, going absolutely insane, right? Well, you're preventing the player from doing what we all hope they're doing, which is making a decision and learning. So remember, just stay calm. No need to freak out. Kind of this is the thing that you want to, as a coach at a parents' meeting, you know, really encourage your parents to do, not necessarily just for goalkeepers, but for players in general. If you don't know what I'm talking about, go out and watch a U10, U9 game. You will hear more noise from a U9 and U10 game, and that's, I'm not saying that's not a good thing and that's not supportive and positive. If you're a U10 parent out there, I apologize if I've offended you. But my point is, there's more energy around these parents and these coaches at the younger levels because you got young kids, right? You're excited to see your young player out there having fun, going after the ball. And every parent, sorry again if I'm offending someone, but every parent thinks that their player, you know, should be doing this or they should be doing that. But we forget that we need to allow the players to learn and to do on their own. Now that I've lost all the parents on this particular episode because you've gotten ticked off at me, but I hope you understand. I mean, it's just something we all kind of have to take a step back as adults and say, hey, listen, all right, this is all about the kids making decisions, whether it's positive or negative. That's how they learn. So again, the last thing, the third thing on kind of key takeaways that we as adults have to look at and reflect on and do is, you know, remember that the younger players, they do have the shorter attention span. So we have to keep things simple and don't let it bother you if, you know, I struggle with this a bit because you have to hold younger players accountable a little different than an 18-year-old or a 20-year-old, you know, but don't be as bothered or offended if, you know, you work on a Tuesday and then on a Thursday they don't remember everything you talked about. That's not the way the world works, right? They're developing, they're learning. You have to reinforce topics multiple times this is adults as well, but we have to reinforce topics as human beings to really learn and have a really good grasp on them. So don't be offended. Remember, keep things short, bite-sized chunks. I think that's a strategy that I've really taken from my days as a teacher and implemented as a coach, and frankly, probably has made me better for it. Three key takeaways, just to recap on coaching and training younger goalkeepers. We're talking U9, U10 level. As adults, those three key takeaways, remember, don't blame your young goalkeepers when they give up a goal. Hey, listen, it happens. It happens to all of us, good, bad, or indifferent. That's how we learn. You know, number two, as a coach, a parent, whoever it might be, a fan, let's remember, stay calm. Just realize that anytime we're freaking out, you're going to inevitably freak out the player with the ball or whoever you're directing that emotion towards. And the third thing as an adult, remember, look, younger players, shorter attention span, bite-sized chunks. Keep it nice and simple, and don't let it bother you if they're forgetting from one day to another. We just have to keep reinforcing those topics. So, you know, again, what do we teach for these young keepers? Basic rules of goalkeeping, proper catching and technique, not really diving at the U9 and below level, and then at U10 we're going to start working on positioning, and that positioning was just more, hey, get off your line if you can get the ball, cut down the angle, but more so the concept of when the ball travels from the left to the right, move left, move right, you know, try to go out and collect it when you can. Man, I really hope this has been a phenomenal episode for you guys. I hope you take away something. And listen, you know, we're going to have guests on the podcast that you guys have learned, you know, from time to time, that thank goodness we have guests that know twice as much as I know. And we're very fortunate, and I'm very fortunate to have really good friends out there in the coaching community, and also others that are willing to talk with us. This entire podcast, it's all about growth. It's all about educating players, coaches, parents, whoever it might be, inspiring them to go out, train harder, train differently, and then just making sure that we're, you know, we're delivering quality information. And part of that quality delivery comes from you guys, right? You listeners out there, those of you following us on social media, I really encourage you guys to pose questions to us, whether, you know, you send it on some social media platform, say, hey, listen, I'd really love to hear a podcast on X, Y, and Z. You know, I've struggled with this concept. Tyler, could you introduce, could you find someone, could we hear, you know, how can I become better at high balls, crosses, and flighted balls, set pieces, whatever it might be. You know, I guarantee you guys, we're going to continue to listen to you. We're going to continue to give you content that you want. So you just have to let us know. I encourage you to go follow us on our social media channels. YouTube is a phenomenal outlet for us. We're doing videos constantly. And honestly, I'm encouraged with the feedback that I've already seen and heard from you guys. The more you want, the more we'll give you guys in terms of content. We're always looking to give you the best. So be the goalkeeper and the coach that reaches out to us, connects with us, communicates. This is about collaboration. This is about you and I and all of us working together to impact the generation right now that's playing in front of us, but also to impact the generation behind them. Remember, every single player right now, or many of the players right now you and I are working with, those players are going to be in our shoes here in about a decade or longer down the road. Now, I know that makes us feel a little bit older, and I understand that, but we're training and teaching the next generation of coaches, and that's such a critical concept to remember out there. You're not just training soccer players, you're training the next generation of coaches, and we are putting our stamp on the future. This was another episode of Between the Post, and this is Tyler, your host, looking forward to delivering more content to you down the road.